You are listening to the Purely Table of People podcast. I'm your host, Nebo Mahoney, and welcome to the show where we explore what really makes a chemist. Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Purely Table of People. Today I have with me Karen Neese, who is a PhD student in the Tyndall National Institute, pursuing her research studies within the area of theoretical chemistry. So a little atypical compared to everything you've heard so far with regard to studying chemistry. Kara actually spends absolutely no time in the lab, which might be hard to believe, but yes, this is a huge research field, particularly in Ireland. She's a fantastic example of someone who has followed their ambition and their dreams to ensure their own success. So without further ado, here is my interview with Karen Neese. Welcome, Kara, to the podcast. So delighted to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, first off, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself to our lovely audience. And what is your name? Where do you hail from? And what are you up to?
So my name is Kara, and I come originally from Germany, but I've been in Ireland for the last like 9.5 years almost. And I'm currently in my fourth year of my PhD in theoretical chemistry.
Very good. So I suppose theoretical chemistry is maybe an area a lot of our listeners haven't heard of before, just because it's generally not majorly investigated within an undergraduate curriculum. So could you take us through your career journey from school and then maybe like chat about a postgraduate course that you're in now?
So obviously I went to school in Germany until I was 15. And then I really wanted to do something. I wanted to travel and I wanted to improve my English. And so I decided to come abroad. And at first I wanted to go to England, but the organization I was going with says that they wouldn't take you if you weren't 16, because a lot of the families they have over in the UK are like both parents work. So you have to be very self-sufficient. And so they were like, okay, look, if you're 15 and you want to go, we'll take you to Ireland because it's a little bit of a different situation. And so I looked at it and I looked at the brochure and I didn't really know anything much about Ireland. And I was like, okay, this looks cool. I want to go. I, at this point, don't really care. I just want to go. And so anyway, I was supposed to come for 6 months so I wouldn't have to repeat a year of school when I got home. And I really liked the school I was in and I really liked the family I was in. And the like teachers were like super supportive and the school system, I think, just suited me that little bit more. There was some stuff in Germany where like, you know, you get graded on stuff like PE and things. And I came here and that wasn't a thing and I could just kind of focus on doing well. And I really liked that. When I came over here, I had to pick my Leaving Cert subjects, even though I didn't realize I would be staying for Leaving Cert at this point. And so even though I did a undergrad and I'm now doing a PhD in chemistry, I didn't actually take chemistry for my Leaving Cert because
it clashed with music.
Yeah, it clashed with music. And I was like, I'm only here for 6 months and I want to do the things that like are really fun. And so I took music and I took biology. And, you know, biology is enough to get you into a like science course in UCC.
How lucky are you that you did pick a science subject?
Yeah, oh, I was always going to pick something. I was kind of gutted I couldn't take chemistry because chemistry was one of my favorite things back home. But I was kind of like, look, it's just for 6 months. Just take music.
That's so funny. I didn't know that you did that. I had no idea. That's so funny.
Yeah, it kind of messed up a lot of my like subject choices that I would have taken for Leaving Cert in Germany versus what I ended up taking here, because I was going to drop geography and I ended up doing high level geography for Leaving Cert instead.
Yeah, and you did German for your Leaving Cert, didn't you?
Yeah, I did German and French. Yeah. So German was just like to have a seventh subject, I suppose. And we actually had to learn how to answer the like questions. Like we got like, there was a couple of other people who were taking German for their Leaving Cert who were, you know, from Germany or like other German speaking countries. And we had to take like lessons with the German teacher on exam technique so that we knew how to like answer things correctly and get all of the
marking scheme.
It was just like the first couple of tries, it was just like, well, you missed this point, and you were just like, how can I not get an A in German?
I am German.
Yeah.
And I suppose after you finish school, You went to UCC and you were based in Cork for your schooling experience. Did you stay with the same family whenever you went to your undergraduate course, and what undergraduate course did you choose?
So I didn't go to school like in Cork City, but like Cork County. So the first month I was going to college, I stayed with the family that I'd stayed with the 2 years before, just because, you know, most people listening will probably know what it's like trying to find somewhere to live in Cork. And that's one of the reasons why I picked UCC as well, was because I knew if I wanted to go to college here, I would need to find a place to live. And the easiest way to do that was if I could commute up from where I was staying previously, which is not fun. It was a long bus ride. And we had a lot of 9 a.m. lectures, but you know. But yeah, so I started out with biological and chemical sciences because I kind of knew I wanted to go into chemistry, but I wanted to keep my options open because honestly, I really enjoyed biology and Leaving Cert. And so I picked the science course that had a little bit more biology in it, just to keep my options open. But then I realized very quickly that Leaving Cert biology and undergrad biology are not anywhere close to the same thing. And I didn't enjoy how just waffly and imprecise the biology lectures were, to be honest. It just doesn't suit me.
Yeah, it was very essay based. A lot of guests have said that. A lot.
Yeah. I'd heard it from during like the like induction kind of like week in UCC. I'd heard it from like students who were a couple of years ahead of us that like either you come in and you like enjoy the way biology is taught or you absolutely hate it. And I ended up kind of hating it. I still enjoyed that, you know, I had stuff that wasn't just chemistry, but
yeah,
it kind of cemented that I wanted to do chemistry. And then I'd watched a lot of TV and I really liked Bones, the TV show. And so I was fascinated with forensics. I thought it was really interesting. And I didn't think I could cope with doing just one thing, like just chemistry, just seemed a little bit much.
Yeah, I get that.
And the chemistry and forensics course does have a lot of like other things. And now I get to watch the TV shows again and be like, they're doing that wrong. Why aren't they like, why?
You kind of ruined it for yourself.
I mean, like, no, it's kind of fun to critique. I did chemistry and forensics, which, you know, at least gave me insight into a lot of other things because we did a module in psychology. It was nice to get to like dip into stuff like psychology and archaeology, and like the forensics labs are really good fun. We got to like go look at the actual human bones in the like archaeology department and measure them and stuff. That was really cool.
And we got to touch them. Remember, you're not allowed to wear gloves because it actually damages it.
Oh yeah.
You have to actually touch it with your bare hands, like human bones. It was so weird.
Yeah. I was really excited about it because it fit into that thing that I was fascinated with from TV. And I was like, ooh, this feels like real forensics.
Yeah, it did. It did make it feel like real forensics, not like just dressing up and playing a game.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, like getting to put on those oversuits and running around with a big camera every Friday afternoon was a good time.
Yes, it definitely bonded our class.
Yeah.
And you were in final year when you decided to pursue your PhD. Could you tell us about your journey towards choosing to do a PhD? When did you decide you wanted to do that? Was it something you always wanted to do?
No, I was terrified of maybe doing it, actually. It was, so we were doing third year labs in inorganic chemistry, and we had this demonstrator who was very chatty, and it turned out we had a couple of mutual friends. And so we got talking and he was just like asking me about stuff. And it was like, oh, you know, what do you want to do and things? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, what lecturer do you like? And so I told him, and he was like, oh, they sometimes take on summer students for an internship to try out some research if that's something you'd be interested in. And it just kind of blew my mind because I hadn't really thought about it. I think up until that point, demonstrators were just this kind of abstract concept, and you didn't really recognize that, you know, this is very much not the main thing they do. And so I was like, okay. And I like hummed and hawed a little bit, and eventually went up to said lecturer after lecture, and I was like asking him, I was like, will you take me on as a summer intern? And we had a chat about like what it would involve, because his research is a little bit different to what he would teach in class, which is what's the case for like most of the lecturers around campus.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there was another bit of humming and hawing because he wouldn't take me if he couldn't pay me. So it was a proper like little project, and he had the money for it anyway. And so I ended up doing that, which was really great.
Great opportunity.
Yeah. And it kind of came just in time because it was around this time where I realized that the chemistry and forensics course is actually a like chemistry course with a focus on analytical chemistry, which is not something I actually enjoy very much. So that's, you know, that's really awkward realizing, like, you know, in the last half of your degree, like, oh, this focus is on the chemistry that I'm not interested in. Oops. And so, you know, we get offered a selection of final year projects where we do our own bit of research then in final year. And all of the projects that are offered to forensics are all in analytical chemistry because that's the lectures that take us on. But because I'd done the summer internship with someone who was outside of the analytical department, I was like, oh God, please let me, you know, continue my project that I did in the summer rather than having to do something else. So that kind of helped break me out of that accidental pigeonhole, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so I suppose from wanting to continue that summer research project also came conversations about, you know, maybe doing a PhD. And so I wrote an IRC application with that supervisor, doing something very similar to what I'd already done. And it was kind of fun because I got to, like, you know, make some decisions on, like, what I would like to research and how to go about it and things. IRC applications are very difficult and very competitive, and there's no guarantee you'll get it. And so I didn't get it. It's very difficult. Yeah, I know way more people who tried and didn't get it and tried twice and didn't get it. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it's like a 3% success rate or something crazy low. But I suppose if you find a supervisor who has a track record of getting them, then that will obviously make you more likely to get them. I suppose our specific projects and areas maybe of chemistry were just not IRC compatible the years that we applied.
Yeah, probably not, which is okay. Because, you know, sometimes these things work out better.
In your case, yes, they did.
Yeah. Spoilers. But so the thing was that I didn't want to, like, move back to Germany at the time. I was like, oh God, I really want to stay. I don't want to move. So the thing was that, you know, my parents had paid for me to go and finish school in Ireland, and they paid for me to do my undergrad. And so I was like, okay, I need financial independence. I can't keep expecting them to pay for this. So when I didn't get the IRC, there was an option to do a master's, but I was like, I can only do this master's if I get paid for it. And so there was some humming and hawing about whether there would be money. And I was like, okay, I need to look at other options. And right around this time, we started a module that involved quantum chemistry, which we also did in second year. And I was, like, baffled at it, and I didn't even understand what was going on. I think much like the rest of the class, aside from anyone who'd done, like, chemical physics, because, you know, they do some of the physics stuff, so that's a lot easier for them. But yeah, I was just like, what is this? And so anyway, this other lecturer comes in and he teaches quantum chemistry, and it's like a light bulb went on. I was like, this makes so much sense, and it's really interesting, and you can do so many cool things. And that was my plan B. And because I knew some of the postgrads around, I'd kind of, like, you know, talked to them, and I knew someone who was co-supervised by the same lecturer. And so I heard that they were a very good supervisor. And anyway, again, I hummed and hawed, and I went up after lecture, and I was like, hi, are you taking on postgrad students? And he was like, I'd love to. And I sent him my CV and got an email during, like, study week being like, are you still interested? I have money for a PhD position. Do you want to meet and talk about it?
And you must have been so excited and nervous. And also, it's my finals, leave me alone.
Yeah, it was literally like, I remember I was studying with a friend, and, like, literally I had my, like, laptop open and it just went ping. And I was just like, holy crap. So obviously I was like, yes. And I went in, and this lecturer is based in Tyndall, which is where I am now. And we talked, and the project sounded really interesting. It was completely left field of anything I'd done because, you know, we don't really cover much modeling. We cover, like, the very, very basics in that quantum chemistry course about, like, how things work. But I'm also, this project is now in material science, which we didn't really do much of.
No, we didn't.
It's, you know, it's electronics, which is, like, very kind of like physics and engineering-y, which I knew nothing about. But it sounded really interesting, and it involved some traveling, and it all sounded really good. And most of all, it was 4 years of funding and not maybe a year of master's funding and then applying for another IRC or another source of funding. And I just wanted that security. And
and
so
you also had, I suppose, a passion for this research topic. And just to add before Cara moves on, she did the interview the day of her final exam for final year. Before it, the morning of the final exam and final year, Cara went for an interview for her PhD. And I don't know how she did it because I was out of my mind stressed. And she somehow got the gumption and the calm to go and interview for her PhD position. I know you have kind of an alternative, I suppose, PhD structure in a sense that whereby you did a lot of taught modules, which is not the classic structure of a PhD. For me, I only did 15 credits. For you, you did 55 credits. So take us through that experience and why you did it, I suppose, as well for our listeners.
Okay, so that was like discussed really early on when I knew I'd gotten accepted. It was also, by the way, the last exam was the exam for my supervisor, or at least that part of his module. So, you know, that was very nerve-wracking. But anyway, so there's a lot of humming and hawing, because when you're doing a kind of chemistry PhD intensive, there's two options you have. You can register with the School of Chemistry up in UCC, or you can register under the like Tyndall program, which is just run under the like CEFS umbrella, where it's called PhD Engineering Science. And they let you do this level 9 diploma in innovation, entrepreneurship, and commercialization. And you do these, so it's not actually 55 credits. I think 25 are just like regular modules that you have to do. And then it's 30.
You kind of focus on physics and computing and coding, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I did a module on coding. I did two modules on kind of semiconductor engineering, because that's what my project is for. And it kind of helped me to see the bigger picture, because I'm like very zoomed in. And then you do 30 credits of kind of commerce and business modules. So there's stuff about marketing, and there's one called creativity, which was very strange and just kind of like talking about how to actually go about innovating. And we talked about like the invention of the post-it note and things like that. But I also got to do a like module on intellectual property, which was really helpful, because if you're in science, you know, it can be very easy to actually suddenly research something that you need to have protected. And so just kind of understanding the basis of how that works and like what you can protect and what you can't was actually really interesting and really helpful.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of got a background grounding in what you need to be a good researcher.
Yeah. And so that was kind of why my supervisor suggested I do that instead of chemistry. For this, I'd have something tangible to show after. And a lot of employers these days are apparently looking for people who are a little bit business savvy, as well as know their way around their science. So that's why I ended up doing that. It was rough. Sometimes it was a lot. It definitely got easier as I did more and more modules, because you get to the point where you were like, okay, I remember this random concept from last year. And so, you know, at the start you'd be shoved in with master's students who really wanted to do this course. But then, you know, as the years went on, you'd jump in with master's students who'd only just started, and you've already done some other things. And so it gets easier.
Yeah, very good. I suppose I think that's everything, isn't it? At the start, it's so scary and hard.
Yeah.
And then once you kind of have a background in it, you settle in and you know you're right, I suppose, is maybe another thing too. Whenever you feel new, that you don't actually know if you're right or wrong. Something I really want to give our listeners insight into, especially you, in, I suppose, Tyndall is a part of the University College Cork group. However, it's a little bit more of a professional body in the sense that it's not student orientated. It is a research centre of excellence. And what would your day to day look like in this research centre of excellence?
So I don't actually think like on a day to day basis, it's very different, especially because I'm not in a lab. I suppose the really big boon is in Tyndall, and why we couldn't really do this in UCC is because we have our like cluster, which is like this ginormous computer that we need to run our like calculations. Because basically what you do in theoretical chemistry is solve some really complicated equations to try and figure out the energy of a set of atoms. And obviously on its own, that's completely meaningless. But if you build a lot of models, and you compare, you know, maybe structure A, structure B, and, you know, you can compare the energies and you can look for trends and you can try and find out which one is more favorable, which one is more stable. And then you can dig a little bit deeper and try and figure out why that might be. So obviously to try and find trends, you have to run a lot of calculations. And like, I think some like very small, like 2-3 atom calculations I could actually probably run on my laptop if I had the program installed. But like most of my models are like 500 atoms. And the like computer power you need goes up. You know, the more atoms, the more computer power.
So you are mainly based in Tyndall. I know you have the opportunity to work from home, as you mentioned, just for anyone who doesn't know that you don't work in a lab. You have a completely like lab-free PhD.
So I suppose just for like my day-to-day is like I can access the cluster remotely. So it doesn't really matter that much whether I sit at home on my laptop or in work on my PC. The main thing on my PC is we need some visualization software because obviously otherwise the thing just spits out a whole lot of numbers and you're just like, okay, what do I do with this? And it's important to be able to look at your models as well after a calculation and see how they changed. So like on a day-to-day basis, that means checking on the calculations you're running, building new models, which is also one of those things that gets easier over time because obviously your research kind of like builds on itself. And the nice thing is that like, basically like a model is just like a file of coordinates. And then you give it some potentials for the various elements and you can let that run. And then if I want to repeat the same calculation, but with a different element to compare different types of metals, maybe I just put in a different potential, use the same coordinates, I run it again. So, you know, that gets faster. But it also means you generate a lot of data, which means that like a lot of my time isn't spent checking my calculations and like, you know, running more. It's spent trying to analyze the data and then writing up what I found. Because a lot of the time I'll have this like giant pile of results and I don't really know what any of it means. And you have to like really dig in and like compare them in a lot of detail and try and find that trend that connects them that might help you explain why one thing works better than another.
It's probably an area that a lot of people haven't heard of, but all your work is highly, highly publishable. And do you want to tell the audience how many publications you have now as you've just entered the final year of your PhD studies?
I currently have 4. Two of them were joined with a postdoc. So his name is first, but it's an equal contribution, which is like a little footnote. And basically means that either of your names have gone first. And just to anyone who doesn't know, the person who did essentially most of the work on the paper, their name goes first. And then I have 2 that I wrote on my own. And there's a 5th one that's in review at the moment.
Which is incredible, considering the majority of PhD students don't actually get to publish across their PhD. And if they do, it's usually one near the end. Cara is way ahead of the curve. And anyone who's looking for a PhD, that they're kind of open to any area of chemistry, that their passion is chemistry, and you want a high research output, it's definitely a developing area, I think, in the landscape of Irish research. Is it, Cara?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're one of the bigger groups. There's obviously like, because it's, you know, you can build a model of anything. There's so many different fields. I'm in kind of like electronics and materials chemistry, but I know a lot of pharma companies these days are actually also looking for people who have experience in modeling to model some of their drug compounds. So you can really do anything.
Brilliant. And I know you are probably the person I know from PhDs that has traveled the most, and you had fantastic opportunities previous to COVID, of course, that you got to go abroad. What was the highlight of those travels for you? I know you went to some conferences, I know you went to some courses, and you also went with colleagues, which is definitely an added benefit to the experience. So could you select one of those that's your favorite trip, or do you have other highlights to your studies so far?
I think all of them kind of had, you know, their own things going for them. I went with one of the other PhD students in our group on a like summer school for a week in Paris. And honestly, the highlight of that was just getting to do some sightseeing in Paris. It was very difficult, like physics and quantum chemistry during the day. And then you got to go on the Eiffel Tower, which was fab. But my favorite conference was probably like one of the first ones I went to, which was in Birmingham, which, you know, isn't super exciting, but it was a really well-organized conference. Other conferences I've been to have a lot of kind of more like heads of group, like established researchers. But this one, even though it's, you know, it's a sizable conference, had a like better mix of like PhD students and kind of supervisors. And because I went with a postdoc, it was kind of like, it was nice because I got to like make some new friends.
You are in the final year of your studies, And I suppose the next question I'm going to have for you, and I suppose it links to the networking, is postdocs. And I suppose that's what the real importance is of networking at conferences. And something we've all probably really missed across COVID is the potential to network and get to know people and other groups' research to enable your future career. Do you have any plans for your future career with regard to like studies, travel, like postdocs? Are you going to industry? Do you want to be an academic? Do you have any idea?
So contrary to what I said 4 years ago, when I really didn't want to leave Ireland with the whole pandemic thing and not being able to travel and just like frequently see my family, I kind of really want like something closer to home. So I want to do a postdoc because honestly, like a PhD is great and you have so much time to kind of like really dig into your research, but you also always have that like slowly closer creeping deadline on the horizon of like, I have to get this done. I have to get this done before my funding runs out. And so I really like the idea of doing like a postdoc for like 2, maybe 3 years and just getting to do research for the sake of research and not for the sake of getting a degree.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. For the love of science.
Yeah. Yeah. I also kind of want to change field a little bit because electronics wasn't ever really my first choice. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of interest in kind of like environmental science, and there's a lot of like good work that is like going on for like, you know, catalysis for water splitting. That is, it's also materials chemistry, it's also surface chemistry, which is what I'm doing now. It's just a different application. And so I have all of the skills to do that because I know how to run the models. And really then it's just a question of reading the literature that's there and getting used to a new topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, so theoretical chemistry is also one of those things where you can easily swap fields.
Very good. That's good for our listeners to know too, I'm sure. And also it's great to have the opportunity to diversify your own skill set.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips and tricks you would have for students that you kind of wish you'd known then what you know now, with regard to study or even like making friends, finding accommodation, anything?
Oh dear. Okay, well, if you're going to a new city, I would always recommend trying to get a dig rather than trying to rent somewhere on your own. Because it's kind of nice to just have someone there that's, you know, a proper functioning adult. And so that, you know, if it's your first time away from home, kind of like dipping your feet, kind of like, you know, learning how to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's easier if there's another adult around. Like even for me coming from, you know, living with a family while I was doing leaving cert, I then was in a dig for another year and a half when I moved up to Cork. And like, that was really helpful, even though I'd already kind of been away from home, but it was still different then. Because, you know, when you're still going to school, you like have to be home for dinner and stuff. And then I was in a dig and I didn't have to be.
Yeah, that's but really good just, advice, yeah. Especially when you were kind of quite young going to university. You were 17, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was 17 until the end of first year, which I also wouldn't really recommend. Like, it's not the end of the world, but it can just sometimes be a little bit awkward.
Yeah, I suppose not even being able to go out with people, that I suppose, yeah, would trip you up. It's, a lot of the social aspects of college are, when you're 18, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest then, like, by the time you hit like second year or the end of second year, you might already be too busy studying to really like enjoy all of the social things as much.
And so, Cara, I'm going to ask you the last question today, before I let you go to your busy, busy life. What is your definition of success? And that's in a career sense and a personal sense. And it could be right now or what you see in the future or your previous success. Totally up to you.
Honestly, there's a lot of kind of like different things. Like, I feel like I am like successful if I can keep my career progressing. Like, you know, I wouldn't say like, oh, having a like full-time job like is obviously the end goal. But like right now, you know, like, getting that PhD position was a success. Trying to find a postdoc position, finding a postdoc position, that will be a success for me. Obviously, like publishing a paper or kind of in the same way vein, like finishing a project.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's taking, acknowledging the little successes, I think, is so important.
Yeah.
And knowing that success changes.
Yeah, and honestly, like always moving forward and learning something new and doing something new, not just kind of becoming stationary, I think.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Cara. It was so fantastic to have you on the podcast, especially whenever your background is a little different to a lot of my previous guests, having moved to Ireland to pursue your PhD, whereas most people are actually were based in Ireland from the get-go. So it's a little easier, I think, choose to study in a country you're from when you can run home to your mom whenever you've had a bad day.
Yeah, I miss that.
But thank you so much for coming on, Cara.
Thanks for having me, and I hope this helps someone.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I would like to thank the Royal Society of Chemistry Outreach Fund for their support and funding for this podcast, as well as the School of Chemistry in UCC for their encouragement, involvement, and support. Please reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, or wherever you use your social media platforms and give us any feedback or comments you would like to develop the podcast with us. We are really here to serve you, so we really look forward to that feedback. Apple Podcasts seems to be the best way to help a podcast out at the moment, so any ratings and reviews on there will be hugely appreciated, guys. Until next time.